Oh, Brad, what have you done now?
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Brad Gilmore Show on demand. Welcome to episode 128 already. Already coming back with the flames, son. Welcome back to the show. I hope you've enjoyed all the episodes with Avery as Us, with Eric Zala, with Justin Roberts, with Brandon Caldwell. We talked about the NBA Finals, which isn't going so great for LeBron. Today on the show, we got a special guest, somebody who I've been aware of for the majority of my life, and who's always been entertaining to me, especially being a Houstonian. We have Chingo Bling on the show today. Chingo Bling has a brand new special out on Netflix, a comedy special out on Netflix called They Can't Deport Us All. That's the name of the special. And I watched it last night. It's really funny. It was shot here in Houston at the Heights Theater, and I was really surprised. Like, I always knew Chingo Bling was funny. I've never seen him do like stand-up comedy, and to go from being a rapper to doing stand-up comedy, I don't think is the easiest of transitions, and he pulls it off very well, and he knows how to kind of mold those two worlds together. And I mean, I remember he used to do songs like Taco Shop, and he did a Hot Like Bling parody recently, but you know, it's interesting to see him mold those two together and make it funny and make it fun and make it enjoyable to watch, and he really did good. So I encourage you to go out and check out his special, They Can't Deport Us All, streaming on Netflix right now. But hey, I'm not gonna waste any more time. Let's hear what Chingo Bling has to hear about his special right now on the Brad Gilmore Show on demand. Chingo Bling joins me right now. Chingo, how are you doing today?
Fantastic, man. Doing great.
Hey, man, well, the Netflix special is out right now. They Can't Deport Us All. I watched it last night, and I got to say, I really enjoyed it the whole way through. Very, very funny stuff. What's been the reception on your end? How have people been receiving the special?
So far, man, it's been mainly, like, my core audience. Like, you know, folks have been supporting me for, you know, strongly for a minute. So right now, all the feedback is great, and I'm sure it'll start to reach, you know, other people that probably aren't familiar with me, and then, you know, it might be mixed reviews at that point, but you know, really my concern is just keeping it pushing, keeping it moving, you know, on to the next, just work on the craft, touch the people, and just, you know, stay focused on what we have going on.
Well, yeah, you got a lot going on. I know you're about to go on tour, but why do you think right now, you know, why was right now the time for Chingo Bling to come out and do a comedy special? Because you've put out albums before, you've had the comedic songs, you had the Hotline Bling remix, or you know, the Taco Shop back in the day. Why was now the right time to do a full-fledged special?
Well for one, I don't consider it like a full-fledged special, only because a special in traditional sense is like one comic, 60 minutes, all jokes. And in my case, you know, considering I'm new to stand-up and just, you know, considering the amount of material that I have at the moment, you know, we chose pieces of my current set, and that's kind of what made the cut. But we have sketches, we have a few other comedians. But now's a good time because it's just been like a culmination, just to build up. I got into stand-up, you know, 2.5 years ago. So it's a fun transition. It's a different art form. But you know, I just think it lends itself to, you know, what we do and what I do and everything.
Well, you know, you say that the it's a different art form, and that's what I wanted to ask you about. You know, you've done the music thing for so long and been successful at it, definitely here in Houston. And what do you think is the difference? What have you noticed? Because when you're putting together an album, you kind of have a concept for the album, you get the tracks, you start working with producers, you're writing the songs to kind of, you know, flesh out that full vision. For you, what did you notice the biggest differences between putting together an album and then putting together this They Can't Deport Us All special?
Well, two big differences I see is, number one, the set, like in comedy, your set is constantly morphing. It's constantly changing. So you're able to edit constantly. Whereas with the song, you pretty much record it, and then that's usually the version that you're performing out on the road. You know what I mean? So that's one big difference, is that it's just constant edit, you know, constant edit to get the desired effect. And then another thing, too, is like with music, a lot of times the artists, you know, we're having to like kind of prompt the crowd. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, it just depends on who it is. But a lot of times, like in the rap scene, you know, if it's not like their hit jam or whatever, then they might only be like, oh, I know the hook, or I'm going to go ahead and just kind of chill for this part. But with comedy, you can't have the audience chilling for, you know, for a minute with no laughs, because then that just means you're not doing a good job. So in other words, with music, you have to like tell people, all my ladies scream, Houston, how y'all feeling? Like you having to cue them and prompt them to induce that reaction. But with comedy, it's like you have to be creating suspense and you know, talk, you know, make them think and just induce the laughter, like make them laugh uncontrollably.
Yeah, well, yeah, I can see how that's a big difference. When did you though realize, Chingo? When did you realize that this was your lane? Because you've always kind of flirted between the lines of just being a musician and being a comedic musician at the times. You know, like I said, the Hotline Bling remix and so on and so forth. When did you realize that this could be your lane of how to differentiate yourself in the scene?
Well, once I started kind of like really just diving a little bit deeper into the comedy realm, I started getting the feedback. You know, just getting like the desired results of like, hey, dude, it's sold out. There's a line around the building. Like you have these couples and just all these folks like in far off places. And, you know, that's a good sign when stuff's selling out ahead of time. And when you have like a line and, you know, people are just, you know, they're laughing, they leave, they got their money's worth and they're like, dude, I needed that. Or like, man, great job or whatever. Versus on the rap side, you know, sometimes it's a little hit or miss, you know, depending on the variables, like, oh, the venue or the promoter, just so many little things can go wrong. It could be frustrating, but I was just getting all the right feedback on the comedy side to where it's like, okay, if I work really hard at this, you know, this can turn into something. This is a cool skill to have.
You know, you say that, you know, you're still working on material, only doing stand-up for 2.5 years. What was it like the first time you stood up on a stage to do stand-up? Were you nervous? Did you think that, was the audience really reacting to you? Have you ever bombed on stage? How did you feel? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I bombed several times, especially the first time. The first time, I was still kind of full-fledged, like, I guess, comedic rapper or whatever. And I was asked to host, like, a comedy event. I was like, oh, yeah, this is my first dream. Like, I love stand-up. This is cool and I can do this. I'm just going to kind of have some ideas on an index card. I'm going to kind of go up there and wing it. Besides, I was just the host, so the pressure wasn't on me to have material. All I had to do was really just be entertaining and bring up the actual, you know, comment. But even that was like a challenge. It was just like, okay, this is a lot harder than what I thought. And then even to this day, anytime I like test myself, challenge myself to go up, like recently in LA, I went up in one of the comedy clubs out there, and it was like just an off night. It wasn't really my crowd, and I was trying out some new stuff. So of course, yeah, you get a few laughs here and there, just to see what bit, you know, has potential. But for the most part, yeah, it's a reality check. Like you gotta, there's just so many little skills that come into play to where yes, you're gonna get hit in the chin like several times throughout. So yeah, it's one of those things, like it's painful, but you know, once you get through it on the, you know, on the other side, that's how you know you're actually improving and you're actually dedicated.
No, I can definitely understand that. I always hear the great stand-ups say you have to bomb in order to get mm-hmm. better. And I think that's just, it's like riding a bike. If you fall off the bike, you know what to do the next time. So you said though in LA that wasn't your crowd. What do you mean by that? What do you think your crowd is?
I mean, right now it's like, you know, Chingo Bling fans for the most part. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's going to be Latin or Mexican American or, you know, people that get a lot of like the cultural references or little slang things or inside jokes type stuff with me. I mean, a lot of it is just kind of universal, but a lot of it too, it might be like, oh, well, you know, I've never experienced a Border Patrol checkpoint. So I'm, you know, I'm just going to imagine or whatever, you know. But anyway, what I meant was, like that particular crowd, it was like, you know, zero Mexicans, you know? So some of the stuff that I kind of like would normally work with, like on the road, that normally would kill when it's like a packed room and they're excited to see you, it's like these folks don't know who the hell they are. So it's a more accurate test on the material you're testing. So yeah, it's just something that I'm not afraid of that. So I'm willing to work through whatever I have to work through, just so that the material from now on, it could just be super universal and just really sharp, because I feel like I'm starting to reach people that have no idea what they don't know anything about, like the Tex-Mex mixtape underground scene.
Yeah.
You know, so some folks are, because different folks know me from different things. So some folks, some of the new people we're going to start bringing in, like the whole thing, like, oh, you do music on the side? Like, that's not even going to be a thing, I don't think.
They're just going to know you just as Chingo Bling the comedian.
Yeah. It's just like, oh, he was funny, and I get it, and, you know, he should be in a movie or something.
You know, but you say, like, some of the people didn't understand the cultural references and stuff like that, but when I watched the special last night, I didn't know about a couple of things, but you know, the way that you set up the jokes and the way you kind of almost... The way the bit goes, it's almost, I feel like I understand it. Like, I never heard of Oho before in my life, before yesterday. And I feel like I got it. It's when someone gives you the evil eye, right?
Yeah, yeah.
What's the egg thing about, though?
I don't know where it started. It might have been, like, in some indigenous, like, old, like, medieval times type of thing. But
you have that Aztec scene, so that's what I was picturing in my head. Like, an old Aztecan ritual.
Yeah, I mean, I'm actually curious. I don't know if that's a thing that came from, like, Spain, you know, and it was just like an old European thing, because there's an Italian American comic named Sebastian Maniscalco. He's blowing up big time. Anyway, he talks about the evil eye, and, you know, he's Italian American, and he describes it in his way, like the way it was in his household. But I was like, oh snap! Like, I didn't know that folks from, like, way out there, like maybe even like Greek, you know, Spain, I don't know, just Europe, you know, like, it's still a thing. But anyway, yeah, the egg, I don't know, maybe like a shaman or an old wise man was like, I don't know how to make your baby stop crying, but I think this egg will absorb whatever energy.
I just find that to be the funniest thing. It's just like, we put the egg on you and you're all good. You know, though, but you play a lot of characters in the special, which I find funny. You play Canelo Alvarez, amongst others. Why do you think that, is for you being a character, is that a, because, you know, some guys, you know, they're better in character as a comic than as themselves. Where do you think you stand in, and then why the characters? Did that just kind of come naturally to you?
I mean, since I was a kid, like, clowning in the lunchroom and stuff, like, I'd always have, like, a voice at the time, you know what I mean? Like, say it's, like, we're about to go on spring break, and it's like, oh, dude, like, do that, you know what I mean? Like, in the lunchroom, like, do that one voice you used to do at the beginning of the year, man, you haven't done that one little character, or mock the lunch lady, or do the teacher's voice, or whatever. So, I'd always, even, like, Chingo Bling, like, when I first stepped on the scene, that was like a over-the-top persona, personality. And it just kind of evolved and over the years, and then it just kind of got blended with, like, me, like, as a person. Like, the lines just got blurred or whatever. Like, it didn't stay defined. It was just everyone knew me as Chingo. But people didn't know. It's like, wait, Chingo technically is this. It goes in this box. But anyway, characters have always been... just something that keeps me entertained. Like, it's just fun. Like, you know, of course, just watching, like, Saturday Night Live or Eddie Murphy or Mike Myers, just different people that could do that. Like Martin, you know, the Martin sitcom, that was, like, my favorite sitcom ever. And he played everything from Shanae to, you know, the security guard, Otis, and all the little kid, the snot-nosed kid. He played his mom, and, I've just always been a fan of that. It's just a cool, fun little thing. And another thing, too, like, honestly, a lot of stand-up comics, they're so traditional. They're, like, purists about the art form that they strictly are like, I'm just funny, and I don't have to do social media. The jokes speak for themselves. I don't have to be, like, a promoter. I don't have to be out there coming up with memes or, you know, it's just I'm a writer and that's it. But it's like, because I don't subscribe to a lot of those rules, and I'm kind of like an outsider, and I'm able to break rules and bend them. So it's kind of like I'm not going to limit myself. So obviously our show and our presentation, it's non-traditional. So, you know what I mean? That makes sense.
No, yeah, that makes sense. I understand what you're saying. You know, you said though stand-up was your first love a minute ago. For you, when you're growing up, like who are the comics that kind of shaped you when you were going? For me, it was like the Seinfelds, the Chris Rocks, George Lopez was really great. Who were some of the guys that you liked as a stand-up?
I might be dating myself, but Eddie Murphy for sure.
Yeah,
Eddie Murphy was like the main stand-up, you know, person. And then, you know, once like Def Comedy Jam and like Comic View, stuff like that, of course, you know, Cedric the Entertainer, Martin, and then of course George came around, and you know, Cat Williams, and then like Kevin Hart's hustle, like he's like a promotional exercising machine. So like yesterday we had a long day, and the minute I start like oh man, like we just gotta clock out, like I'm tired type of thing, it's like, you know, somebody like Kevin Hart, that's the person. It's like, okay, this dude is like, oh, I'll tell you a quick story. He filmed, Kevin Hart filmed something in Houston. It was probably like a year ago. It was like at a small little venue over here, like near Third Ward.
Oh yeah, at 4212.
Yes, yeah. So that day or whatever, my buddy was like, hey, come through, Kevin Hart's shooting this thing. And I took a nap. I didn't really believe it. I woke up from my nap and I looked at Kevin Hart's Snapchat just to kind of like verify, like, is this dude really down the street? And so, yeah, I see him like on a snap. It's like, dude, he's at the gym where we go. And I was like, we went to the gym this morning. Like, how did I miss this dude? He must have been upstairs. And it's like, oh, snap. Like, he's really here. This is happening. And we went to the we tried to go to the taping, whatever they were doing. They're like, y'all just missed him. He just walked in, blah, blah, blah. There's like a Suburban right in front of the front door. So I'm like, okay, this must be him in security. And we're like, all right, well, let's go get a drink down the street at a bar. And we're there chit-chatting and stuff. Maybe like 45 minutes, an hour. I decided to check his snap again just to see like if there's any shots of inside of where they're filming, just to see what's going on. Well, by then, he's posting a snap. Like, he's already in a jet on a private plane. Which I'm assuming is like over there near Hobby. So I'm already kind of doing the distance. Like, okay, that's a 20-minute drive just from, like, I'm doing math. Like, okay, did he, like, just mathematically time speaking, like, he must have, let's say he did this snap as soon as he stepped into the private plane, you still have to factor in the 20-minute drive. I'm like, damn, he literally like went in, did what he had to do, and bounced, which tells me everybody in that room had to be prepared and ready for him. So that he can do his job, meaning scripts are printed, like lights are set, batteries are charged, cameras, wires, audience is primed, and like everybody knows what to do. And the idea that came to mind is you can't have anybody in your crew that's half stepping or has like the homie mentality where it's just, it's not a business. You know what I mean? Like things can't be so relaxed and so chill to the point to where, hey dude, like, now, because your batteries weren't charged, your camera wasn't rolling, and your mics weren't set, now he's holding this plane now. Because which is probably going to hold like a book appearance or a shoe promotion or this new cartoon he was in. You know what I mean?
So, no, yeah. I mean, you got to have everything together. And Kevin Hart's another guy, kind of like The Rock. You know, these guys are always working. You always see them on social media. And I mean, I heard Kevin on Howard yesterday. He's got like 8 movies coming out this year. He's working on a new special. The guy's definitely an inspiration. He's nonstop all the time. But, you know, when you talk about Eddie Murphy, for me, I completely understand why Eddie Murphy was big for you. He was big for me as a kid, too. But Eddie Murphy, for me, was the first comedian who really seemed like a rock star, who really kind of came across as like the coolest guy in the room, but he was also the funniest guy in the room. Sometimes, you know, it's hard to do that. You know, if you're the funny guy, you're the funny guy. If you're the cool guy, you're the cool guy. But Eddie was able to do both simultaneously. Was that kind of the big thing that attracted? And he was funny as hell. But was that what attracted you to him?
I mean, yeah, of course. Like a lot of that came into play, I'm sure. Like, wait a minute, this dude, he's dressed like youthful and urban, like on some like hip hop type street style, but he's in a helicopter and he's selling out stadiums and he's in movies. He's on TV. He's on SNL. You know what I mean? Because Richard Pryor was like before, like I didn't get into Pryor till like I had to research Pryor later. So it was kind of like, you're right. It's like, man, this dude's like a rock star. Like, he literally, like, a bucket list all, like, by age 21. Like, you're doing stadiums. You got the record in this. You hold the record in this. You're in these huge movies. You're on Saturday Night Live. Like, damn.
You did it all in one fell swoop.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, of course, like, longevity. That's what's important to me. You know, longevity and just being consistent. That's super important, because anybody could be hot for you. But, like, how do you sustain it and just keep it going and have, like, a retirement plan and just, like, you know, what's the 30-year game plan on this?
You know, that's always, you know, I work with Booker T, WWE Hall of Famer, and that's what he said when he was out there wrestling. He said in his mind at 30, he's like, I want to have everything together. I want to be retired by 30 and have my everything, that all my bucket list checked off and ready to go and be here for the long haul. You're about to go on tour. Is that right?
Well, the tour hasn't really stopped. Just the only thing is, right now we're taking 2 months off, and then, the tour kicks back up like late August.
And you're going to improvs. So you're doing Chicago. You're going to be in California. What is the tour going to consist of? Is it going to be like the special? You're going to have your friends with you kind of doing comedy. You're going to do sketches. What's going to be the tour?
Yeah, it's going to be stand up. It's going to be me plus two other stand-ups, and then I'll come and go about three times throughout the evening. So I'll come out early off top and maybe do a lot of my new stuff that I'm working on, and then hand it over to another comedian, like hand-picked dudes that I vouch for and I roll with. It's not just, oh, this is the guy the club hired, that's some local dude. You know, go get a beer, clock out. No, it's like this whole, we want it to be good from start to finish. And then I'd come back out probably like in character as someone else, and then do some jokes related to that little world, and then bring up the next guy, and then close it out at the end. So really the biggest challenge with the remainder of the year and the cities we have coming up is some of these cities we've been to before. So not only have they maybe seen the special and been to a show, so they're going to want new jokes.
That is another difference. I don't mean to cut you off. That is another difference between comedy and music. You know, when you go back to the same city again, the fans will show up and they want to hear the same records because they want to hear their favorite songs. But jokes don't have that shelf life. Once they hear it, they're like, okay, I've heard that. Give me something else, right?
Yes, exactly. Because once you know the punchline or the surprise, like the plot twist, the reveal, then you know, it takes the sting away. It's not going to be as funny. But there's a few exceptions. Like, for instance, Fluffy, Gabriel Iglesias. Like, without a fail, pretty much every show, the audience is going to, like, request jokes at the end. So it's kind of like his encore. So either way, he gives you an hour of fresh stuff. And then at the end, he'll do a couple bonuses to where it's like karaoke and the audience knows it verbatim.
No, definitely. So, I think that you always though have to. I guess this is part of the tour though, to go out, try the new material, see what works, see what doesn't work, and then are we going to get another special? Are we going to get the fully fleshed out special like we talked about, where it's Chingo Bling for an hour?
Yeah, I mean, at some point. Right now, we're still playing with the format, and I'm going to be patient so that you know the next one is a cut above, and it's just always improving. And there's no rush. There's no need to drop another one in a year or anything. So so the main thing is, yes, there will be like several specials, you know, in case. I mean, you know, I don't really see that not happening, only because stand-up is one of those art forms to where, like, I never want to, like, get rusty in that regard. You know, I never want to be whack in that regard. So regardless of whatever movie, just like Kevin Hart, I think he's a good example. Regardless of like how many movie projects and shoes and books and all these things you have going, you're still in the lab, because in a way that's like hip hop, to where it's like you can't be whack. You know, like that's not an option. You cannot be hacky and just lame. You got to work. And that's one of the, it's just a thing. That's the thing that connects you like to the people, to where you never really want to get rusty. Because a lot, it's tempting. Like a lot of people, once they start getting movie roles and stuff, like Eddie Murphy, even, they just leave stand up alone. And then sometimes, like 20 years later, it's like, all right, I'm gonna get back in there. You know, I'd rather be the other type, where it's like, no, I'm a writer first, And I write all types of different things, including stand-up. I perform that stand-up. So even though there's other projects happening, we make sure we juggle, schedule.
No, I mean, but, you know, also you got to applaud the guys like, you know, like the George Carlin, who always said, I'm going to put out special a year. And, you know, mm-hmm. and he was funny until the very day that he died. And, you know, he never took a break from it. He always stayed writing all the time, 24/7. And, you know, that's why he's one of the greatest of all time. And Chingo, I really enjoyed the special. Hey, one more question. Are you going to keep going with the What Did He Said podcast? I really enjoy that show.
Yeah. We're going to keep it going. Right now, there's a technical issue. So right now, I think it's like temporarily unavailable. But I got to get with my tech guy, hop on the computer, go over these passwords. But yeah, for sure. That's one of the things we're trying to like carve out and like just juggle, so that we want to beef that, I guess, that department up. So we want to have like a little set, you know, a nice little area set up designated just for that. You know what I mean? Not have to like move stuff around or go rent studio time, like just have an area where you just turn on the mics, let's go. So yeah, I'm a fan of podcasts, so that's one thing I want to develop.
Okay, then I got to ask you, what are your favorite podcasts? Do you listen to Marc Maron, or what are your ones you like to listen to?
There's all kinds, man. You have everything from like Tim Ferriss to Barry Katz. Barry Katz is called The Industry Standard. It's more of like a stand-up type of podcast. Felipe Esparza has a good one. Joey Diaz has a good one. There's a bunch.
So
yeah, there's so many. Yeah.
Oh yeah, no. There's hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of podcasts to choose from. So everyone has their own favorites. So Chingo Bling, the tour starts back in August, I believe. You can get tickets at chingobling.com. Guys, go check out the special on Netflix. They can't deport us all. A very apropos name, I guess, for the time being. More stuff to come from Chingo Bling. Any new music on the horizon, or is it full stand-up from here on out?
No. Music is, like I was describing, stand-up. That's one of those things where you never want to get rusty. You always want to have skills. And so, yeah, we make time every week to get in the studio. And we're actually shooting a little video today for, like, I guess you can say it's like a parody. It's more like on the silly side. but on like on iTunes, I have a ton of titles. I even have like a remix project where I took a bunch of acapellas and then I sent it to producers, and they put their twist on it. So I might put that together and call that a refried bling. So like right now we're pushing the special. So I don't want to like blow my load, if you will, and just drop a whole bunch of stuff like right now. So we even have like a music, like a really polished music video done. That's like ready. It's on private mode. All I got to do is press public. We just want to like be a little bit strategic a little bit. But yeah, they can't import songs on Netflix now. It's on the trending. Last time I checked, they had it under the trending tab. And I don't know how it works with their servers, but a lot of people are complaining like it's shutting off or I'm getting an error. And I'm assuming it's the servers.
Yeah, and I'm assuming that's because so many people are watching it. Yeah,
are streaming it. Yeah, streaming it at once, so they're like accessing it from a computer somewhere at Netflix. So I'm looking forward to hearing like the results of like, hey, this month you actually got like just as many views as some of these big Hollywood releases, and I honestly don't doubt it, only because throughout my career, I've seen stuff where, for instance, like the flea market, like people you met at the flea market, just grassroots, blue collar folks you meet, you know, you bump into at HEB, like just regular folks that have been having your back, just regular working class people. Like it's just a crazy amount of support when you're grassroots, you know, when you're underground and when you're like paying attention to, you know, just the people, you know what I mean? So I wouldn't be surprised if it's like, hey, how is it that this, you know, how this big multi-million-dollar release that's on here, on this here Netflix as well, it's just not getting the same traction. Like what are the variables, you know? So I'm looking forward to seeing like numbers or something. Hopefully I can get my hands on some of that.
Yeah, you know, no, definitely. And that's such a Houston thing. You know, I mean, Houston's always been push it to the underground, and then major people start to notice and say, hey, what the hell's going on down there in Texas? And
exactly.
The way it's always been. Well, Chingo, I appreciate you making some time for us. I know you got a busy day today. You're going to shoot videos. You're getting ready for a tour. So much to, so much going on, but They Can't Deport Us All is the special on Netflix right now. Go stream it. Keep it trending. And let's look forward to the next one, Chingo.
For sure. Thanks, man.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right.
Oh, Brad, what have you done now?